Back to the show. Well, as we know, high schoolers who have been out of school relying on online learning will be returning to the classroom, albeit in a hybrid model, come the 14th of this month. Some concerns being voiced by teachers, of course. And join us on line number four is the president of the NLTA. That's Dean Ingram. Good morning, Dean. You're on the air.
Good morning, Patty. How are you this morning?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
Oh, not bad. Well, we just came off our convention, and it's been a busy couple of days, but in the middle of our convention, we learned of a change in dynamics for the school system once again, and I think everyone agreed that we've had a tremendous amount of flux in the school system since last March, and while the goal has to be and should be for everyone, in-class instruction for all students, but only when it's safe to do so. Online learning is a complement, is a supplement, not a replacement, but we have to consider the safety of students in whatever dynamic we use.
What was the level of engagement or consultation with the teachers or their representative union to create the scenario B return?
There was cursory discussion, certainly, but we found out about this. Literally, I found out about this dynamic in full detail myself. Now, staff were engaged in having some preliminary discussions, literally minutes before the release. In fact, I was in the middle of convention and took a call from the minister and the school district outlining some of the things that are going to be happening. There's still a lot of unanswered questions. A lot of them revolve around the experience with Scenario 2 the last time. Scenario 2 was introduced a while ago in high school outside the Avalon region, and then it was abandoned due to, as we understand, a number of concerns. There was concerns regarding the inability to maintain public health guideline at 2 meters of physical distancing in some schools when cohorting wasn't possible. Again, as per public health guidance. There was concerns expressed as well about the degree to which curriculum coverage could be there. And now we find ourselves heading back to a scenario two, albeit I do understand there's some modifications, but we haven't seen the full details on that as of yet. I know that district staff were this week putting together some of these plans, and there will be finally a recognition that teachers do need true preparation time for that, but there are some concerns with how that will roll out as well. But the fact of the matter is we don't have indications that the concerns have been addressed regarding the public health guidance, how they're going to implement those, or that public health guidance has changed. I mean, the reality is we're now living with the B.1.17 variant, possibly of others, that have been reported to be more contagious, more easily spread in the system.
Okay, so inside of public health, and until we see all the guidance that will be given to admin and teachers, it's hard to know where to go with it, but the scenario B was always going to be driven by the physical distancing issue. And so reducing class size is the only way to increase space between the students and the staff. On that front, So I see a story this morning about teachers and vaccinations and what have you, and maybe some worries in schools where they've seen and have experienced it. Mm-hmm. When do we anticipate the teachers get their first shots? Does the issue change now with return to school insofar as pushing them up the priority list? What do we know?
I think it certainly needs to. I mean, Dr. Fitzgerald has spoken about how important in-school person schooling is. We wouldn't disagree. And how it needs to necessitate a balancing of risks. Risks which include the presence, as I mentioned previously, more transmissible variants of concern. But as per the timelines we see recently communicated by government, teachers are in the very last phase two group to get access to vaccinations just before general public. In my mind, and that of many others, there seems to be a disconnect between these two public health decisions and a clear message, regrettably, about government through public health, their level of concern for teacher safety.
Okay, and so the safety concerns, and we need everyone to be safe as we return, that's going to mean all the students really need to do their level best to follow public health guidelines. Of course, the teachers with their masks and their doubled-up shields and all the rest of it, so we'll hope that that can be done safely. Let's move on to education. You know, so someone asked me yesterday, how does this work? It's my day at home, and so there's a tablet or a laptop open on the desk. I'm learning through Google Classroom. Some of my classmates are actually physically in the class. How do I engage with the teacher? How's the teacher engage with me? What does that mean for workload for the teacher? Because that sounds like a pretty hairy piece of business with how you're supposed to be able to attend to both the in-person and the person at home.
Well, without complicating, it's a very complex set of moving parts. Just to give an example to illustrate for your audience how this can complicate, imagine while me and you were having this discussion here on the radio here now, at the same time you're receiving a text message from some of your friends, at the same time your producer has asked you another task, at the same time you have an email or something on your social media feed to attend to. These are all the dynamics that could potentially interrupt the delivery of curriculum, which fundamentally has to be the most important thing. As I mentioned, we haven't seen the finalized plans. I know that the district personnel. Some of them were engaged over these past couple of days to prepare this. I'm actually looking forward to seeing what the PL is for our members. I'm also actually looking forward to seeing if our members get the true and discreet needed amount of time to actually look at not only being exposed to explaining how they can do this, but the time to get their heads around implementing what they're told to do. These are things that happen. There's a lot of moving parts. I can comment on my experience as an online educator that I could set things up with offline time, asynchronous time there. Are there ways to do it? Yes. But at the same time, this is, once again, another shift in the learning environment for teachers and students that there's going to need to be another adaptation. There's been a lot of flux in the system, and people need time to adjust that flux for the benefit of curriculum delivery, which has to be most important in the context of the necessary safety provisions.
Yeah, so I know the importance of socially, mentally, emotionally, educational outcomes. This is an important step to take, and we do hope that it's going to see the rest of the school year through as safe as possible. Dean, anything else you'd like to add before we say goodbye?
Well, I would like to circle back just to the vaccination piece. I mean, the fact is, Dr. Fitzgerald mentioned that they need to work through high-risk groups first. Now, I'd strongly argue that teachers are indeed that. We have tangible examples of one of the schools in this province where you had a significant outbreak that involved teachers. And while I wouldn't say that they all contracted the virus from the workplace, it stands to reason that a number of them did. I spoke with one only two nights ago who's actually still experiencing the effects of that, has some concern about long-term effects from it. His doctors advised him the same. These are things there. Now we have a modified scenario 2 model commenced for high schools without the assurance that are needed. Teachers are absolutely high risk, and we have tangible examples of how they are at high risk because we've had contractions that it stands to reason got it from their workplace.
Dean, I appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's Dean Ingram, the president of the NLTA, and they have indeed elected their new executive team. I'm not exactly sure when that team takes over, but we'll get to the new president. Our friend, what's Trent's last name? Just jumped right out. Trent Langdon is the incoming president. Alice.